Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus, we continue with our study on the book of 1 John. And now we come to chapter 3, okay? And now, please turn to John. Okay, John chapter 3. You find that, you know, the children of God obviously would do everything that they could to know about the will of the Father, right? There's one thing that the children of God must not know, that is the world, okay? Now, if you look at chapter 3, verse 1, the last part it says, therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him, okay? So, it is okay, you know, for us not to be known by the world. Okay, now, the important thing is we must not try, you know, to know the world. Obviously, to know the world means to have anything to do with the world, to befriend the world, you know, or to have any share in the corruptions and the iniquities of the world. Okay, that's the idea. Now, I think for those who have done Revelation last year, you know, we talk about the last warning given to the children of God, that is, you know, a voice from heaven asking them to depart from Babylon. Come out from Babylon. Where is it? Chapter 18, yes. Verse 4. Don't blame it on others, yeah. Okay. Now, so you find that, you know, the most important things that we need to do as the children of God, as, you know, children of God, is that right before the second coming of Christ, we must make sure that we have nothing to do with Babylon. Okay, broadly speaking, we know that Babylon refers to the world. Okay, now very unfortunate, today we find that many of us are deeply into Babylon. Right? Actually, we pose a huge risk to our own spiritual survival. Okay. Because we do not really know when the Lord will come again, right? Well, to look at Babylon in a more narrow context, it means what? The influence or things that can draw you away from God, right? Any concepts, any philosophies of man that can draw you away from God, yeah, that can amount to a kind of Babylonian influence. You understand what I'm saying now, right? So we must quickly come out from Babylon. Okay, now we come back to chapter 3. Now, if we say we are the children of God, right, then obviously we all desire to see the face of God, right? Now, the second part says, verse 2, second part, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, unless there's something wrong, for example, in our relationship with our physical father, earthly father. All right? Otherwise, I believe that all of us would like very much, you know, to talk to our fathers, to talk to our mothers. Okay, it is only natural. Okay, now, in a similar vein, we understand that God is our heavenly Father, so I believe that we want to see his face, more than anything else. Okay, after all, we understand that our belief in Jesus is that we want to be saved. Okay, and if we don't have the desire to see the face of the Father, or we are afraid to see his face, it means that, you know, somewhere in our life, you know, we might have gone astray. You understand what I'm saying? But that is our hope. Why do we believe in Jesus? Because we hope that one day we shall see the face of the Father. Now, if we have this hope in Jesus, that's why John said we should always what? Purify ourselves. Now, remember, early on we talked about this. We have been given the status of being God's children, right? From this position, being sinners, we move to that position. Right? And that tells us how much God loves us, right? Now, obviously on our part, we also need to, ensure that we will not fall back to where we were before. Okay, I think that is very important. That's why the Bible says we must always purify ourselves. Okay, that is the message of John. Yeah? Now, unless we have lost this hope altogether or completely, otherwise we would always want to see the face of our Father, our Heavenly Father. Okay, especially today you find that the world is getting more and more uninhabitable, right? Actually, our hearts should be longing for the what? For the coming of the Father. Yeah, because we want to be with Him, we want to see His face. Okay, that's the idea. Now, in order to do that, according to John, 1 John, the last part of chapter 2, we must what? Practice righteousness. Yeah? Okay? Now, no unrighteous man can ever see the face of the Father. So while we are still alive, it is like an opportunity given to us to perfect ourselves, to keep changing ourselves for the better so that we can truly see the face of the Father. All right, we move on to the next section. We come to verse 4. Verse 4 to verse 9, here it talks about sin. What exactly is transgressions, right? Now, we look at verse 4, Now, I want you to look at verse 4 first. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Now, I think quite clearly here it defines what sin is. Okay? Now, when you look at the incidents of the Garden of Eden, Now, you find that God gave Adam and Eve a singular command, only one command, all right? Now, because they disobeyed God, right? And so they broke the only command. And according to the definition given by John, that is sin. When we disobey the word of God, and that action amounts to sin, to a kind of sin. You understand what I'm saying? Right? So, that's why that John said, sin is lawlessness, meaning a person is no longer under the restraint of the law of God. So today I have been given the law of God. If I choose to disobey God, then I become what? A lawless person. Well, because I'm no longer like under the restraint of God's law. There's an account given in the book of Hosea. In the times of Hosea, the people of God broke all restraint. Okay? Everything that God, had given to them, the law of Moses, ordinances, statutes, judgment, whatever, they broke them all. Because they were no longer under the restraint of the word of God. And obviously, that kind of actions amounted to what? Transgressions and sins against God. Okay, that's a brief idea. So if I disobey God, it means that what? I have sinned against God. And that is lawlessness. Okay, this is a very simple definition given in the New Testament scriptures. Is that clear? All right? Now, obviously, the law here is not the law of man. We understand that the law here is the law of God. Okay? Because even some of the laws of man, you find that they are not spiritual at all. They are actually sinful. So when we talk about law, we are referring to the law of God. Is that clear? Okay, now we move on. All right. Now, having given us this so-called definition of sin, now John moves on to talk about what? the reason for Jesus Christ to come into this world. All right, now if you look at verse 5, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Right? So the manifestation of Jesus is to take away our sin, meaning is for the sake of our redemption. That is the main purpose why Christ has come into the world. And you find that this mind actually was well conceived even before the time was, even before the foundation of the world. Yeah, meaning God knew long before that, you know, even before the creation of man, he knew that man would sin. That's why he has prepared Jesus, yeah, to come. Right? Is that clear? So this is the principle in the scriptures. Yeah? Okay? Now, we go on. And whoever abides in him does not sin, and whoever sin has neither seen him nor known him. Okay? So this is very clear. Now, verse 6 here, whoever sin has neither seen him nor known him. Some people said, you know, the sinning here is not just like a one-off sinning. Right? Some people actually live in sin, they practice sin. Okay? Instead of being in Christ, right? Now they remain as sinners. Right? And you find that such a person, that's why Paul says, he is not in Jesus, rather he is in sin. That's the idea. If I live in sin, I practice sin, I ignore the teachings of God, yeah, all the time, then you find that this is where I belong. Okay? Now, so on the contrary, if I keep myself at times like what is mentioned in 1 John 1:7, okay, if we confess our sin, then what? The blood of Jesus shall continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We remain here. Okay? But if we choose to remain in sin and do not confess our sin, nor do we have any desire to return to, you know, the status of being a God's children, then obviously the end result is what? Condemnation. Right? That's the idea. Right? Now, I think it's very important we must not sin willfully. Okay? We must not sin willfully. Okay, now, I want to go on. We move on, yeah? We move on. Now, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. So anyone who chooses not to practice righteousness, then he is not of God. There is no in-between. John is very straightforward about this. You know, sometimes we try to comfort ourselves, you know, console ourselves. Even though we have done wrong, you know, and even though we are still very much in sin, we said, oh, it's okay, you know, stuff like that. Thinking that, you know, God will overlook our what? Our shortcomings. Now, the only way for us to go back to what Christ has given to us, that position, that honorable position, we have to repent. That's why the Bible says, through our repentance, yeah, his blood shall cleanse away our sin. Okay, now the next one, we move on. He who sinned is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Now, we understand that the Bible makes it very clear, Satan sinned from the beginning. Okay? Meaning that Satan initially was under the jurisdiction of God. Okay? Now, for some reason, he sinned. Okay? That's why the Bible says he sinned from the beginning. Now, look at the definition of sin given in verse 4. Alright? Now, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Okay? Now, you find that Satan sinned from the beginning. Okay? So, initially, he was what? He was without sin. For some reason, judging from here, he committed sin against God. Meaning, he broke the law of God. Okay? Now, if he is under God, can he be equal with God? No. If he is under the law of God, can he be equal to God? No. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Is that clear? Right, I want you to read 1 Timothy. 3. Alright, 1 Timothy chapter 3, we read verse 6. Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Now, obviously, you know, it's very clear, right? No one can deny that, you know, Satan, you know, at one point in time, somewhere, we do not know exactly when, right, he became proud. And therefore, he was condemned by God. And the Bible clearly tells us we must not appoint someone who is new to the faith, yeah, to become a leader of the church or to look after the church for fear that this same person may fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Right? Meaning, he became proud, and that's the reason why he sinned. Okay? He sinned. He was condemned, according to the scriptures, right? Condemnation mean no hope, no return to God. Simple as that. Is it clear? So Satan cannot be equal to God in any sense. Now, class, when we study the Bible, we are not doing a human philosophy. We don't use human logic, you know, to deduce any facts. We use the scriptures to back up our belief. Okay? We don't use something different, something strange, to try to back up our belief. Is that clear? Right? If the Bible says he sinned from the beginning, it means that he sinned from the beginning. Why? According to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, because he was proud. That's why he was condemned. Simple as that. Is that clear? Don't stretch our imagination and don't allow our imagination to run wild. You get what I'm saying? Alright? Because that is going to hurt your what? Your faith, and that is going to destroy the foundation of your belief. Is that clear? Alright? Now I want to show you a couple of verses to back that up. We turn to the Old Testament scriptures. We turn to Psalms, yeah? Please turn to Psalms. We read chapter 95. Verse 3. Okay, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. Above all gods, yeah? And according to the Gospel of John, we are told that Satan is the God of the world. Okay? Now, surely God is far above. Right? Now, if the Bible says God is far above all gods, Can Satan be equal to God? Simple, isn't it? Why stretch our imagination? Yeah? Why risk our spiritual life? You get what I'm saying? We follow what the Bible says, simple as that. Unless, again, I said, from the very beginning of our lesson, unless we don't believe in the Bible anymore. If we call ourselves children of God, then we stick to what the Bible says. Simple as that. Okay? Right? Read chapter 96. Psalms chapter 96, we read verse 4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all God. Right? Again, it tells us that He is above all. When you fear God, you should fear Him above all gods. All these are no gods, nothing. Okay? Can you see now? So, meaning that God is incomparable. He cannot be compared at all in any true sense. He is well above all gods. Right? No one is equal to Him. Is that clear? Right. 97. The book of Psalms is very handy. Okay? Chapter 97. We read verse 9. Okay, verse 9. For you, now here, I want you to look at this. You, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all God. L-O-R-D. L-O-R-D mean I am the self-existent God. Self-existing God. Okay? He's above all. Okay? Meaning, no God can ever be compared to this one God. If the Bible tells us that God is above all, and then we say, no, look, there's someone there is equal to Him. What are we saying? Are we saying that God is lying? Are we saying that the Bible is not true? Or are we saying that we are far more, you know, we are wiser than God? What? It's clear. It's in the Bible. That's why I said, there are certain issues we don't need to argue. Let the Bible speak for itself. Simple as that. Read the Bible and let the Bible speak to you. That's it. Right? If the Bible says God is above all, what does it mean? Do you need to deduce? Do you need to to analyze? I don't know how you want to do it. Okay? If you want more, I can show you a few more. Okay, we turn to chapter 89. Psalms 89. We read verse 6, yeah? Verse 6. For who in heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? These are like rhetorical questions. You all know the answer. You know that no one is comparable to God. No spirit in heaven, in the spiritual realm, right? In the spirit world, no one can be compared to God. Who is like God? Right? Who is like God? God is an almighty God. Is there another almighty being apart from God? No. The answer is very clear, straightforward. Okay? Commit this into your memory. Okay? Now, and the second part is said, who among the son of the mighty in this physical world can be likened to the Lord? No one. Absolutely no one. He is the only one, Almighty God.
And if we say someone is like God, yeah, in any aspect, then we are like saying that the Bible is not true. We're saying that the Bible is not true. Okay? Or we are even better than the Bible. Our logic, our reasoning, you know, what we believe in is even more superior to the Bible. Okay? Who can be compared to God? No one. Is that clear?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We finish. We come back. Okay, 1 John. Now, now I want you to read verse 5 again. Sorry, not verse 5. verse 8. Now, he who sinned is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Now, pay attention to the second part of verse 8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works. Not just one work. It's like there are quite a few pieces of work here. Okay? Now, how did Jesus destroy, right, the work of Satan? Obviously, the focus is always on the cross, yeah? And by his death and his resurrection, okay, he overcame death, and thereby he overcame sin as well. So he was like, you know, he was like a victorious, you know, man. Because like what we have said, that Jesus was a what? Was a man, or man, whatever. He's still a man, flesh and
blood.
Like you and
me.
Is that clear?
Yeah?
Yeah, man means a man, okay? No, Superman. Man. The Bible says he is a man, whatever. If you speak Scottish, it's a man. Okay? Last. No. Yeah, I know, it's very funny. Okay, last. Right, so by his death, what, he overcame? Okay, now, you find that the Bible says the works of Satan, yeah? Now, if you look at the Bible throughout the scriptures, yeah? Judging from Genesis, chapter what? The temptation chapter is which chapter? Of all. Yeah. Multiple choice. 2, 3, 4. Which one?
3.
4, 5. Anyone? 5?
Three.
Three. Oh,
three.
You cannot remember. Next year you start year one again. Okay, class. Now, so, look at what Satan, yeah, said to Eve. You know, one of the things that this guy mentioned to Eve is what? You will be like God. Like God. Okay? So we can see the intention of Satan very clearly. He always wanted to be like God. Okay, that's why the Bible says he disguises himself as an angel of light. What? Now, the Bible clearly tells us that the Lord God is the Most High God. What does it mean, Most High God? I'll find this verse for you. It's in Isaiah somewhere, okay? I can't remember. He is the Most High God. What does it mean, Most High God? What does it mean? Can anyone be compared to him?
No.
In terms of his almightiness, in terms of his quality, of his virtues of being self-existent?
No.
That's why I say, Most High God. You know the African, they like to sing this song. God is the Most High God. No singing. Come back. Okay. Because you are not serious, that's why I sing. Okay, class, come back. Help. Okay? The Bible says He is the Most High God, and the Bible also says He is the most upright. Can anyone be more upright than God or equal to God in terms of uprightness? No. You get what I'm saying? Right? We say most means incomparable. It's beyond comparison. Okay? Most High God. Now, this guy here, he came to trick what? Eve. How you will be like God? You know what I'm saying?
No.
Hey, that's why we said the what? The fox tail. Yeah? Started to emerge. Is it also? Okay? Now you'll be like God. Okay? Equal to God. Okay. Now, I want you to understand this very well, yeah? Look at the work of Christ, how he destroyed the work of Satan. Okay? Now, class. Okay. According to Philippians, he was God, isn't it? Jesus is God from the very beginning, right? But the Bible says he did not consider himself equal to. He did not consider himself to be equal to.
Oh.
Hallelujah. Alright? Now, so what did he do in the process? He took on the form of man and lowered himself to become a servant, even to the point of death. Okay? You can see that Jesus kept lowering himself to the point of death. Yeah? Even he died on the cross. Okay? That is the work. You understand? Right? Now, on the contrary, if you see this guy here, Satan, he tried to, what? Yeah? Tried to disguise himself as an angel of light. A light in the process is like saying that I'm God, I'm equal to God. Alright? That's why 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, he was condemned because of his pride. This is how Jesus exposed him. If Jesus, being the Son of God, did not consider himself to be equal to God, then who can say that he is like God? You understand what I'm saying? Right? To say that any other being is like God is a blasphemy. Right? Very serious. Right? The Bible clearly condemned this. Is that clear? Right? If we hold on to that, then we need to face the consequence. Simple as that. Right? Right, we come back. Now, verse 9. Now, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed here refers to what? The word, or we can say, yeah, there are two things, right, that we can take into consideration. One is the word, the second is Jesus himself, because Jesus is the seed, okay? His seed remain in him. If Jesus is in us, then we cannot sin, right? Now, and because he has been born of God, or we can say, if we have the word of God in our heart, that we cannot sin. Then we cannot sin. Or we say, if Jesus is in our heart, the seed, then we cannot sin. Now, many a time we sin simply because Jesus is not in our heart. Or we have replaced Jesus with idols or with the things of the world. Right? Simple as that. Okay, now, we move on from verse 10 to verse 15.
Now in this, the children of God and the children of devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Now he is not the making a distinction between the church and the outside world. And here, John is making a distinction between those who belong to God and those who do not belong to God within the community of faith. Right? Now, the rules here are very simple. Okay? The rules of distinction are very simple. Okay? If we do not practice righteousness, then we belong to the devil. Simple as that. Okay? If we do not love our brother and sisters, or if we harbor hatred in our heart, then we belong to Satan. You understand what I'm saying? Right? There is no in-between. As far as John is concerned, there is no in-between. Either we belong to the kingdom of light, or we belong to the kingdom of darkness. Right? Now, we know that when we talk about righteousness, righteousness comes from the word of God, yeah? The word of truth. Now, I want you to read Ephesians. Please turn to Ephesians. chapter 5. We read verse 9, yeah? Chapter 5, verse 9. For the fruits of the Spirit, or we said the fruits of the light, is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. A person cannot be righteous, cannot be called a righteous person in the eyes of God if he has moved away from the foundation of the truth. Right? And he can be what? He can be a very charming person, you know, offering a lot to the world, helping people or whatever, if he has moved away from the position of the truth, then he is not of the light. Simple as that. Okay? Now, so we need to understand, okay? There's the foundation. Right? On this foundation, we learn to do good. Okay, people of the world, they can also do a lot of good works, but we know that they are not of the light because they have not been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. But that is the difference. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, I'll give you a very simple example. Today, we are saved because we have been baptized into Christ. Okay? So, on this foundation, or on this premise, yeah, we learn to do good. You understand what I'm saying? Right? We cannot turn around and say, right, if we do good, is practice good, and if we compare ourselves to those who have been baptized and yet they are not doing good, and therefore baptism is not important. Yeah, that is heresy. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, so on this foundation, because our sins has been removed, right, we learn to do good by the power of the Holy Spirit. We might not have reached that level of perfection just yet, but we must try. You understand what I'm saying? Right? So, when you talk about ourselves and the world, there's no comparison. Right? The only thing we can say is this is the kingdom of light, and this is the kingdom of darkness. So within the kingdom of God, the truth must always be the foundation. Okay, we cannot turn around and say, you know, the truth is not important, you know, insofar as what? We love. And this kind of love is empty. Yeah? Because the Bible says love rejoices in the truth. You understand what I'm saying? Right? So everything that we do must based on the truth. Now, the imperfection of the church should not become the reason for us to do away with the doctrines. Is that clear? How
how were we saved? Is it not by baptism? By the blood of Jesus Christ and baptism? That is doctrine. That is a kind of doctrine. Is that so? Without the doctrine, can any one of us here be saved? No. You understand what I'm saying now? Okay? Alright, we shall continue tomorrow. Do you have any questions? Don't forget your test tomorrow. Simple test? You should be praising God. Why are you so Jesus? It's like you don't like my lesson, yeah? So tomorrow I stop teaching. Okay, any question? Is that clear now? Is that clear?
Yes.
Let's pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.